Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Conversation. This podcast is brought to you by Capital Community Church, and we're so grateful that you've taken the time to join us on the show today. If you're in the area, we would love the chance to connect with you at one of our weekly services, and I invite you to check out capitalcommunity.ca for all the information about our church. Today on the podcast, we are bringing you a conversation with our friend Imani Nangoma. Imani is the youth pastor at his church, the Everybody Growing Church, in Stittsville, Ontario. He also serves as the youth president for the Ontario District of the United Pentecostal Church International. After spending even just a short time with Imani, it becomes evident that he is deeply passionate about lost souls and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. During his time on high school and college campuses, Imani was involved in starting P7 Bible clubs and a campus ministry chapter, and many were reached and changed as a result. In today's episode, Imani talks about the ministries and the messages that most impacted his life. He shares some powerful stories from his ministry on school campuses and also how he navigated adversity while sharing his faith. It's a great conversation, and I trust it will bless you today. So thanks once again for taking the time to join us on today's episode. And without further delay, enjoy the conversation. Well, thanks everybody for being with us today on the podcast. Got to say thank you for joining the conversation. And thanks to my good friend Imani Nangoma for being with us today. Why don't you take a minute, Imani, greet our listeners.
Hey everybody, my name is Imani Nangoma. I am from the greatest city in the world, Ottawa, Canada, Canada's capital, land of milk and honey and prosperous. We got amazing tour sites like the Parliament Hill. If you've never been, listen, you got to be there. And so it's just a great to be here to greet you guys.
You know, Maritimers say that this is the Holy Land of Canada. So we may get into a little fisticuffs or, no, I'm kidding. But we are glad to have you at CCC.
I still am friends with people who have false doctrine. So that's okay.
Wow. We're going there. We're diving in deep at the beginning. Yeah, he's been preaching all weekend at a district function and here at CCC and throughout. It's like Ontario is the best province. My city's the best city. We'll just have to come to agreement on we're in the best nation. Can we at least?
I can agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll at least say that.
When I'm with my American friend, I say, if I'm ever in the States, I say I'm in the second greatest nation in the world.
All right.
So it's okay. That's number one.
Now that would break a fight out. That would. But it's so great to have you on the podcast and thank you for being with us at our church for this Youth Emphasis Sunday and for our District Youth Weekend. You know, I was, you mentioned your city and great church there in Stittsville, a suburb of Ottawa. I've been there, actually 2014, I was there preaching. And, after, knowing more about you, you became youth president in a recent season. You're the youth pastor at your church. Well, I talked to your youth pastor since, and I said, would Imani been around those years when I was there preaching for you guys? He said, yeah, probably on the back row, probably causing trouble. So he no filter there that day with Ricardo, who's been on the podcast. But do you remember, me coming through and being a part of those youth weekends?
I do remember it 100%. I was I remember a message you had. Well, I remember a lot of messages preached, and you preached a message called Burn the Ships. Mm-hmm. Still remember that. My feet was in the right place, but my heart wasn't. So I was maybe causing trouble. Who knows? But as you said, Brother Ricardo had a great recollection of that. It was accurate. So,
right.
But yeah, that's true.
So, you grew up in church, right. As you said, you never stopped going. Your feet were in the right place. Obviously there was a turning point moment in your life when the light bulb came on, toward the things of God. You got committed, consecrated. I wonder if you'd share that moment, what brought it on, and what shifted that in your life?
Right. Again, I was in the right spot. Feet was in church, but my heart was in the world. At school, I had a reputation of being a class clown. I was trying to find myself, and I was so ashamed of my faith. I was so caught up in being the cool guy in the room and whatever that even means. But, just loving acceptance and loving people's approvals in that high school mindset. And so, you know, I'll tell you a funny thing. Whenever we'd be going to youth convention, it's usually the long weekend in Ontario, that May weekend. Yep. You guys have it the same.
Victoria Day weekend here in Canada.
And, you know, I would tell people I'm waiting for a sports tournament, you know, when I'm listening, you know, that was me just to share my faith. And one of the turning moments was the major one, I would say. I was at a Winter Youth Crusade. Mm-hmm. The speaker was Brother Myron Wideman Jr. that year. He titled a sermon called Jesus is in the House. And I was sitting there. I was listening. It's funny. I had earphones in. I'm listening to all secular music before service starts. Just so checked out. And I always say, while Jesus wasn't on my radar, I'm thankful that I was on his.
Wow. Yes.
And, you know, midway through that sermon, he asked the question, are you bringing people to Jesus or are you taking them away from him?
Mm.
And I ran to the altar. I fell on my face and I made a commitment to God that for the rest of my life, I'm going to bring people to you. Now, I've had moments like that before. A few months prior to that, two girls that I knew of died in a car crash. They were 16, 18 years of age. Such a tragic story. And I had moments with the Lord in that moment that made me think about my eternity and what am I doing. But a few months later, that Winter Youth Crusade, that was the moment. That was the moment I made a commitment to God. I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but for the rest of my life, I'm going to bring people to you. Mm-hmm. So that was the turning point.
So it was a youth function, but specifically it sounds like with the car accident story, and then that moment, the question surrounded and was revolving around souls. And that was the catalyst. It was a compulsion to reach for the lost. I've heard the statement. I've made the statement. Maybe I don't know if it's original with me, but you know, if your walk with the Lord lacks passion, which it sounds like yours did, it probably lacks mission.
Right.
You know, you're not engaged in the Great Commission. And as a result, you don't see the miracles. You're, as a believer, you're not moving and you're not stepping out and doing something for God.
Right.
It sounds like it's your story.
Yeah. And it's funny that, you know, I'd have moments where late at night when I, you know, not doing the right thing and laying by myself at night after, you know, living, doing my own thing all day, and I could feel God calling me. I could feel him calling me. And that Winter Youth Convention specifically, you know, I wasn't planning on going. I know, and you could ask Brother Ricardo, he'd have a great recollection of this. I was always having an excuse why I can't make a youth function. And what's funny is my mentor, who's the associate pastor of my church now, Pastor Kelvin Shaw, came to my home and told my parents, who are of African descent, Tanzania to be specific, there's this Winter Youth Crusade that Imani should be at. And I was angry at the time. And my parents were like, he is going, you know? And so that's why I ended up being there. But that is exactly true. Lacking passion, it misses out the mission. And once the passion started, the mission started and never stopped.
Yeah.
And from that day on, that's what I went on to do. I just said, you know what? I don't know how. I don't care how. I just want to make a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come back. I'm going to give you the opportunity soon to share about, you know, some of your testimonies of how, you know, God has honored that, I guess, that journey that you've been on, and you've seen people receive the Holy Ghost and come into the church, and we give God the glory for that. We'll talk about P7, Campus Ministry, in a bit. You mentioned Kelvin Shaw. Of course, we've brought up Ricardo. Your pastor, Dwayne McCarty.
Right.
Great man of God, Bishop Dummett, right. You know, the predecessor to Pastor McCarty.
Right.
Great men that have influenced your life.
Right.
Talk about, I guess, some of your ministry influences, any of these men, your family. Talk about influences, and we're going to dovetail that or get into sermons that have influenced you. And
right.
If you want to take your liberty and jump to that already, that's fine. But talk about the influences in your life that have brought you to where you are today.
It was once said to me that when you see something, you believe you can be a part of it. And that really stuck with me because I really believe in looking at elders or people who have more experience than you. I think that's one of the things that maybe in our current social media generation where everything can be found on Google, or so we think, or on these social media influencers, rather than with the people that you see on a regular basis, because those people really should be your heroes. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it. You know, I learned hard work from both of my parents, the idea of hard work ethics, to, you want to do something, you can work for it. From my pastor's leadership, learned servant leadership, the idea that the kingdom is not here for you to benefit off of, but it's here to serve. It's here. So all my pastors exemplify that concept of servant leadership, that we're here to serve, and we're here to serve the people of God and the kingdom of God. It's not about us. The ministry is not about me. It's about the Lord using me to serve the body.
Yeah.
So that concept at Stittsville has been exemplified to me for all of my life that have been there. So that's been great. I will say, when I started my journey with teaching Bible studies and being a part of it, I had this problem where I didn't want to, and this sounds funny now, but that was the reality, I never considered myself in ministry. I saw ministry as a suit and tie preacher who's getting behind the pulpit.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I had other plans for my life. I didn't really, you know, care to do that. But our associate pastor, Pastor Kelvin Shaw, at the time, he'd be going out and ministering at different mm-hmm. churches. And he would bring me alongside with him and bring me along to minister, have me do a fiery five or have me do something. He would always say, you know, one day you're going to be doing this. And that line I just said, when you see something, you feel like you can be a part of it, that came from him. He told me that.
Yeah.
And so just having that example was, I didn't realize it at the time. There's still some things from those moments that when I even have gone out to minister to church, I remember something, just little things that may not be a big deal, but of, you know, how when you go to church, what to do, what not to do, you know, just different things, that nuances that you would not know if you did not have someone guide you through that process.
Yeah.
You know, the story's been said many times, but Samuel and Eli, I strongly believe that, again, as I said, we have a generation that's very talented and anointed, which is great. I'm a part of the generation. I'm really young. But there, the appreciation that someone's been there before me,
mm-hmm.
who knows what to do through, to have the insight to deal with current challenges, is more than needed. It's essential in our lives. So that them, I've had another one, Brother David DeLeese, another mentor in my life, a life mentor, just guiding me through life.
Yeah.
I schedule almost once a week. We have a phone call together, me and him, just navigating through life and advice and asking questions
mm-hmm.
and being okay with being wrong.
Yeah, not feeling like you have all the answers.
And I find that's what we have right now. Everybody knows everything because I can Google it. I made a funny joke on Saturday about, you know, you get a headache and you think you have cancer by a Google search, right? You Google it. And I know everybody's done that at least once. It's not just me. I've convinced myself that I've had cancer many times.
Yeah, WebMD certainly can sometimes steer us wrong, for sure. Well, yeah, we all are the beneficiaries of people that have made many deposits in our lives over the course of our lives.
Right.
And remembering and acknowledging that is very valuable. And I know you have great respect for those that have poured into your life. And you're where you are today in many respects because of godly parents, godly leadership throughout your life, and those pastoral voices, even beyond your pastor, those leadership voices are so valuable. Now, sermons, I know that you are a sermon buff, perhaps. Even the fact that you remembered a sermon from 2014, you know, that I spoke when I was at your youth weekend when you were checked out, you know,
exactly.
Of your own admission, you know, exactly. you listen to a lot of sermons.
A lot.
Are there any, beyond the sermon you mentioned with Brother, Myron Wideman, any other sermons that stick out to you that have influenced you? And maybe just, comment on that practice generally, how it's been a benefit to your life, listening to a lot of sermons.
Yeah. I listen to a whole lot of different preachers. I watching sermons and listening to sermons, we've talked about this, is a bit of a hobby to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I do just to, you know, I just want to listen to a sermon for maybe to get an idea of a sermon. I just generally enjoy love it. Listening to sermons. So I listen to a sermon every day, many different sermons. One sermon that has really, I would say, a sermon I probably listen to a lot. And the other thing about me is that I re-listen to sermons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I just watch a sermon once, especially one that I cling to. I will re-listen to it on a frequent basis.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, The Forgotten Anointing from 2019 by Victor Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Has been a sermon that has ministered to me so powerfully.
Awesome.
The reality of the fact that, you know, that we forget the anointing of being a survivor. So that's a sermon that's really spoken to me. And there's many others. I like listening to preachers who are soul winners.
Mm-hmm.
Who have those testimonies in them and, you know, talk about winning the lost and have that zeal and passion. But again, as I said, I listen to a variety of preachers. So not just apostolic preachers. I listen to all types of variety of preachings.
Yeah.
You know, just to hear the word of God being ministered to, again, I said to me, you know, some people, their hobbies is to watch, you know, I don't know, different things. But for me, sermon watching is something I do on a regular basis. So I love doing it. One preacher who passed on now years ago, named David Wilkerson. He had a book called The Cross and the Switchblade.
Yeah.
About him in New York City and the burden of that community. And he has a very impactful sermon called A Call to Anguish.
I've heard it.
You've heard it?
Yeah.
And it's about a burden for lost people and just a burden of ministry. Honestly, he was one of the very vocal ministries in my life.
Yeah, he had a powerful ministry. I don't know his whole story, but certainly I've observed, seen, heard some of those highlight moments from his ministry.
Right.
I think that's one of the greatest habits. And I likewise enjoy hearing you talk about it because I likewise really enjoy listening to preaching. I do it, and it's in part to, I guess, observe other people and how they approach the craft, if I can call it that, not diminishing it to a craft or a skill, but it has been such a blessing to be able to just listen, and I do it almost on the daily as well. So great habit. If there's somebody young listening, it's like, you know, not that everybody will be called to pulpit ministry,
right?
But everybody needs to be able to handle the word of God, to be able to communicate it to somebody. So it's a great habit, certainly.
Another one that I love a lot is Jack Cunningham, Passion.
Mm-hmm.
The Purpose and Passion of the Apostolic Church, 2004.
Yes. Was that a bot sermon?
That was, 2004. Yeah. I'm so bad. Like I remember titles, years. I could tell you, and we won't do it, but I could tell you the last 7-8 years of our youth conventions, who preached it, what they preached, the title, everything. So which year it was. It's like, as I said, 2014, Burned the Ships. And it's funny, when you came there, I actually, at the time, I wasn't living for the Lord, but I actually brought a friend with me.
Okay.
Who was not in church at all, and we'd been hanging out over that day. I said, hey, you know, you just want to come out to church? And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. And we actually talked about the concept of burning the ship. I actually still remember that till this day. I just thinking back to it, so that's funny.
That is interesting. Even at that season when you weren't really on fire for God, it was obviously something in you that had a passion for people or just maybe misdirected, but obviously now you've channeled it, and we'll talk about that. Before we do, I guess this kind of leads into it. I think that Christians can so easily default to the concept or the idea, well, the people out there don't want what I have.
Right.
We fall prey to that lie sometimes. I think some of the stories you've told this weekend and just your experiences in this season, I feel like they shatter that idea because you've seen God, people that God has been working on drawing, just open up, break down into the, you know, in the presence of the Lord, crying, receiving the Spirit, not just in church, but everywhere, over Zoom, in schools, on campuses, etc. So I wonder if you would just take a moment. You've shared some in sermons, but if you want to share some of the highlight stories where God has led you to people, testimonies of Him, you know, pouring out His Spirit or healing somebody, just to illustrate to our listeners today, the people are hungry for what we have.
Right.
You said it this morning. People are even open to the supernatural. They don't know where to look. You know, people going to mediums and turning to witchcraft, things of this nature. But they're hungry for the supernatural. Just comment on all that.
The hunger in a generation that is currently in our time is shocking and amazing to realize.
Mm-hmm.
When I first realized that people are hungry for what we have, it came out of real life conversations
mm-hmm.
in high school at the time. You know, when I first wanted to reach my friends, you know, I had no idea what P7 was. I had no clue what Project 7 Bible Club was, but I just wanted to make a difference in people's lives. I didn't know how that would look like. But it was conversations and people who I thought they had it all, and realizing they had nothing.
Yeah.
That's what made me begin to realize that. And I think we would have more healing and more understanding of people if we had more conversations rather than commentaries on people we don't even know.
We make assumptions about people, whether it's their background, their status, and also their hunger. We assume, I guess they don't want it, but it's just not true. It's a lie.
It's the biggest lie ever. We judge people's lives off Instagram, people's highlights, and then compare those highlights to our lowlights and don't realize they got lowlights too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we understand that we have what this world needs, and that's Jesus Christ, it changes everything. When that light bulb gets on, you know, when you look at the apostles in the book of Acts and when you see the lame man by the gate, just spend some time there for just a few moments before I get into some stories.
Sure.
But that lame man, he was just hungry for some silver and some gold. And, you know, today, obviously our currency is not silver and gold, but the people are craving the exact same thing, things to help them cope with the problem of what they feel on the inside. So his issue was that he was lame, but he had given up with the fact that he was lame. He knew the money wasn't going to fix his lameness, but he was okay to just get some money to make it through the next day.
Mm.
And we have a culture that's why they need their weed. That's why they need the drinking and the parties and the lifestyles and this and that, because they're trying to fill the void that they can't really describe. And so one funny story of this is of an individual, first year of university. I'm in my calculus class. I don't know how I got through it, but I did.
Only by the grace of God.
By the grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. But, you know, he looks at me, we're the back of our class, and he goes, "Yo." So I said, "Yo." He says, this is the first thing this guy says to me. He goes, "Do you know where I can find some weed on campus?" Now, bear in mind, like I'm starting a campus ministry at the time. We're trying to see God move in our campus at the time. And this is the first thing this guy says to me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm like, maybe I'm not living this whole thing out. You know, I'm like, am I like the weed guy?
Do I look like the weed guy?
So looking back at him, I'm like, man, you know, I don't know where you could find some weed on campus. I said, but, you know, in my mind, again, I thought again to that man, Acts 3, kind of looking for that silver and gold. He's looking for that quick fix. And I'm like, you know, but I got something greater I can give you. And so we began to talk and, you know, told him about the Bible. So I said, I'm a preacher. And he's like, whoa, 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 like snap, you know,
oh, snap.
Like, oh, snap, man. And I'm like, man, it's okay. Started inviting him to a campus ministry. He had every excuse in the book of why he couldn't come. I shared this a bit on Saturday. You know, his ankle was broken, but he was walking fine. He had a heart. Every excuse for not coming to church, not coming to that campus ministry, he had them. And to be honest, the tenacity and the nerve he had was pretty impressive. I'm like, you do this much to lie, you know? But I'll never forget the last day of our campus, day of the semester, he looks at me. And I said, man, and it became a running joke. I just said, hey, we'd love to have you. You know, I thought, he's not coming. And he looks back at me and he says, you know what? He said, I actually would come. I'm like, yeah, for sure. He's like, no, I'm serious. He said, I just have some assignments that are due. And, I didn't believe him because the deadline for assignments had passed. So I'm like, this is another lie in the book. Then I found out that his mom had stage 3 breast cancer.
Mm.
And see, this is the stuff, again, on the outside, he's a written off case. But in a conversation, he's one prayer away from receiving the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And anyways, we started talking about God together. We started right there in the middle of our campus in the conversation. I took the chance to share him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And long story short, he lifted up his hands and God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amazing.
Right there in the middle of our campus. And here's what he said to me. He said, Imani, this feels like drugs on top of drugs.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if that's theologically the right thing to say, but here's someone who lived his whole life
chasing a feeling and the greatest experience.
And he's telling me this is better. And sometimes when you grow up in church, I think there's a lie that convinces you that the grass is greener. And then you hear messages that say that it's not, but you convince yourself that maybe it's better outside. But if there's a young person who will listen to this, I've seen a lot of people get baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. I have never met one person who has looked at me and said, man, I wish I could have smoked a bit more. I wish I would have gotten more drunk. But I've heard countless tell me, you know, I had one person tell me, they said, you know, you used to go to youth camps growing up and like church people, you guys would grow up together and you go to this, like, that sounds like I wish I could have had that experience as a kid.
Yeah.
And so that's one. There's another cool one that if it.
Yeah, can share please, as well. Please.
This is a month ago. This is the craziest one that I've personally experienced. He didn't receive the Holy Ghost or get baptized. I believe one day he will. But he was a man from the Sikh faith. I meet him at the hotel. He works at the hotel. And I go downstairs in the lobby because I had some issues with my charger. You know, he said, hey, I've got a charger here. He said, I'll bring it to your room. And I kind of was like, well, I said, sure, whatever. But in my head, I'm like, you know, I'm a little worried. I'm like, who's this guy? Comes up to my room, fixes the issue. There was a problem in the hotel room. Anyways, and then he says to me, he says, you know, we started talking. Why are you here? I said, I'm here for a church conference. I'm ministering here. I'm a preacher. He said, oh, wow, that's cool. I said, he had a little wristband on his wrist, and he's part of the Sikh faith. So I began asking questions about that. And then it just came out of me. I said something inside, said, ask him to pray with you. So I said, hey, bro, would you mind if I prayed with you here? And he said, you know what? He said, sure. I said, what miracle do you need? He says, I need a financial miracle. I said, you know, Jesus can give you that miracle. I want to be sure which God we were talking about when I told him that. And we begin to pray together in that hotel room. And he looks at me. He says, he's showing me his arm. He says, look at my arms. He says, I feel goosebumps all over my arms. Mm. He's like, look at my face. He's in amazement. He's like, I feel goosebumps all over my face. And he's looking around. He's like, it's like Jesus has stepped into this room. He says, 20 days ago, and he tells me, I've never told anybody this story in my life because I didn't think anyone would believe me. So I haven't said anything in the last 20 days. He said, but 20 days ago, I was in a room where someone forgot their Bible in the hotel room. He said, I picked it up, and he said, a light shone through the window. That's what he says to me.
Wow.
And he said, and I lost my sight for a couple of minutes.
Mm.
He says, and now 20 days later, I'm meeting someone who says they preach Jesus. He said, maybe Jesus is trying to get my attention.
Wow. Amazing.
I mean, we could be here all day. I could share countless stories. But the point is they're hungry.
They're hungry for what we have. They're hungry for Jesus. For something. They don't know. They may not know, but they're hungry for it. Absolutely. So you've mentioned P7. You've mentioned CMI, Campus Ministry. You know, talk a little bit about that because you had the turning point in your life. You had this light bulb moment. You got passionate about the things of God, passionate about reaching for souls. P7, I would say, and you can clarify, it seems like that became an outlet for you reaching into your high school. I think it started as just, you know, you would call it a Bible study or whatever, and it just grew and grew and grew. Share a little bit about, I guess, your P7 and CMI experiences, and if you have a story, whatever.
Right, yeah. So it began with three friends, actually at a library table just like this. One of the people in the Bible study were half asleep. The other one was knocked out. And then one had his headphones in the Bible study. You know, the Bible study was brutal. Like, it was so bad. And I'm there teaching. You know, I had no idea what I was doing.
Was it P7 curriculum from?
No, it was not.
So it was just.
This is when I first started. So I had no idea what P7 was.
Got you.
You know, I came to find out P7 was later in the high school experience when I kept doing about it. But.
You were just like, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to do something.
I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
So I remember I asked my mentor, Pastor Kelvin, I said, hey, can you give me some advice for this? So he gave me a Bible study charter thing. And so I started going off that and people just kept, the group just kept growing and growing. And so we couldn't keep doing a Bible study charter because there were so many different students coming each week. So everyone was at a different spot. You know, we'd have to keep restarting. So I just started saying, hey, you know what? I'm just going to preach Jesus.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, I may not be able to, I don't know the word that deeply yet. I said, but I'm going to introduce Jesus to people. I'm just going to tell them Jesus is everything that you've ever needed. And a Bible study the group with three friends began to grow and explode. And by the end, we had over 80 plus students gathering together in a Catholic high school for context where most people there are atheists, but they were gathering together in that chapel to hear the gospel being preached. We had the stoners in the school, the potheads, people using drugs. The first part of lunch, they'd smoke their drugs. The second part of lunch, they'd be lifting up their hands in the Bible study. Tears would be streaming down their face. Teachers were coming out. I had my math teacher come out, law, French teacher, different teachers coming out and experiencing the presence of God. My French teacher, I remember he said, it feels like I'm not even in the high school anymore. He's like, it's something different when we enter that room. The presence of God was fallen. One amazing story from that experience was there was one individual in the Bible study whose grandfather was in the intensive care unit with pneumonia. And I'll never forget, I came into that meeting that day and I said, Jesus can do absolutely anything to all the students that were there. We didn't have enough chairs, so some kids were sitting on the carpets. They were sitting on the carpets in the school,
wow,
in the chapel, because maybe there was maybe 70 seats, but there wasn't enough for all those people. And everyone lifted up their hands. I said, if you pray in Jesus' name, I said, and believe he can do it, he can do any miracles. So all these students started praying. After the meeting, a few days later, I got a message from this student. And he said, Amani, you wouldn't believe it. I said, what? He said, my grandfather was in the ICU with pneumonia. He said, but when we began to pray in that meeting, he said, my grandfather's pneumonia is completely gone.
He's been healed. Praise God.
And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I was amazed. I love that you said it. You said this to me before we started recording here, that God honors his word.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
As you just said that, it just illuminated again in my mind the fact that we don't control the results.
Mm-hmm.
We get to control our relationship with him.
Yeah.
And if we just walk with him, he will do things that blow our minds.
Well, signs follow believers. I do believe that. And it may have been Brother Aaron Bounds. Somebody was talking about Ezekiel's vision of the temple and, you know, the river flowed and it started small, but every, whatever, 1,000 cubits, it was to the ankles and to the loins and then waters to swim in. And somebody made the point, it may have been him, not trying to, steal anybody's thought here, but the further away from the temple, the deeper things of God, you know, he said the deep things of God sometimes happen the further away we get from the temple.
Wow.
We all know what it's like to feel the presence of God in the sanctuary, in the church house. And that's powerful. I'm not taking away from that.
Right.
But there is something I think about when we go outside of the four walls and we start taking territory for the kingdom or, you know, start marching and trying to do something for God. I don't know. I just feel like God honors his word in greater measure, perhaps, in contexts like that, because really it's his reputation on the line in many ways, and we're just preaching Jesus. We trust him with the results, but a lot of the testimonies you shared, they weren't necessarily things that happened. Oh, yeah, it was Sunday morning service, and I invited a friend. That's great. Please, you know, do all that.
Just keep doing that.
But it's like when we go meet them where they are, I don't know. That's where so many of your testimonies have taken place on campus at high school over Zoom, even.
Right.
You know, you're not just relegating God to the four walls, the box of the church house. And I love that about, your ministry in this season.
Hey, I really appreciate that. And, you know, touching on campus ministry after P7 began a CMI, it grew. We had about 48 students in attendance because it was right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we were on a cups of just ex- explosion a few weeks before we had to lock down. We had about 48. It was a breakthrough. People were coming out. People were hungry for God. And seeing many get the Holy Ghost, get baptized. Now, since COVID hit, everything shut down. And we went online to campus ministry. And it was three locals, campuses in my city. We came together on Zoom. And we said, we're going to work together and we're gonna reach people. And I'll tell you a crazy story. We had someone there from the Netherlands. He heard, because scores of people were receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost on Zoom calls.
How many would you say receive the Holy Ghost over Zoom?
I would say, not just from the campus ministry, all the times, maybe, because we did FaceTime call with people, maybe over 20 people.
Amazing.
Over 20 people, and that's being conservative, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about, like, I'm in Ottawa, they're somewhere else, and we're watching them start speaking in tongues over Zoom.
Wow.
We're just praying the prayer of faith and watching them speak in tongues.
Mm.
It's been amazing. And so one guy from the Netherlands, I still remember this, he came on, it was 2 a.m. at the time, I believe, in where he was at in the Netherlands. I think there's about a five-hour time difference, five or six. And he goes, I joined this meeting. You know, a friend invited me because I heard people are receiving the Holy Ghost here.
Mm.
And he said, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He joined on. And that day when he joined on, one of the people who ended up receiving the Holy Ghost, his name was Alex Krakowiak. I shared a bit of a story in today's earlier today, but Alex was so hungry for God and grew up in a Catholic home, Polish father, Spanish mother. When he heard that someone was staying up till 2 a.m. to receive the Holy Ghost, he said, what in the world am I doing in this dormitory because my roommate's sleeping? Why can't I be seeking this? So he went in Harrisonburg, Virginia at the time, went to the washroom, locked himself in the washroom, lifted up his hands.
Mm.
A few moments later, we actually had my brother Mike McGurk speaking on that campus ministry call. He texts me. He goes, the text was like he was speaking in tongues because he said, I got da-da-da-da, like all these letters, but I got it. I just got the Holy Ghost.
Amazing.
He's gone on to pray so many people through. He's launched two campus ministries. One of them, I think, just had over 25 in attendance. So he's doing things over Zoom on campus there at James Madison University and blowing things away. So my experience with P7 and campus ministry, you know, has just wrapped up what my passion is about, people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And however God allows me to minister to lost, broken people, I'll be a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to get you to say, you know, if somebody's intimidated to start one of these things, what would you say to them? I feel like everything you've just said, I mean, just seeing what the Lord has done when you're willing to go and to just do something, to meet them where they are, to declare Jesus, to preach the gospel, the Lord will confirm his word.
Right.
With signs following. I really believe that.
Right.
Yeah, and you're a testimony of that.
And we got to have a passion for it. You know, we got to, you know, it doesn't mean that everyone's story has to be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Or how you minister to people might be differently.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a thought came to mind the other day through the word of God that every one of us, we're obviously all made in the image of God, but no one has the fullness of God's image in history. The only person who had that was the man, Christ Jesus, because the fullness of the Godhead was dwelt in him bodily. He's the visible image of the invisible God. But we all have an element of God's image in us. And so if I'm trying to be somebody else when God's using me to however it looks like, I'm actually robbing the world of viewing a unique part of God's image in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to be who God made me to be.
Yeah.
However that looks like. It might be P7, it might be campus ministry. It might be WMI, Work Ministry International. I don't know. However that looks like for you. But it might be your neighbors, for those who, you know what I mean? It might be for those who are full-time at a church. However it looks like. It might be in your community. It might, whatever. We got to let the fingerprints of Jesus be everywhere we go.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that because, and one of the focuses that you've mentioned over this weekend and even in this conversation is conversation and talking to people. You know, just this week in our church, young man that was coming, came to one service and just being kind and opening up, having a conversation, sitting down, getting to know him, you know, several weeks later, just this past Thursday, he was baptized in Jesus' name. So, you know, I think just being others conscious, generally speaking, and being concerned about people whether that's out on your campus or if it's a guest that walks in your sanctuary, don't just be closed off to people, but open your arms to people however you can. Talk to them, get to know them, and I think the Lord will honor us when we start caring about His business, and that's people, the lost. Right. So we'll kind of start landing this plane. You know, you're the current youth president in the Ontario district. You already mentioned that you said you're young. I don't even know, you're
21.
You're 21 years old. You were elected at, I'm presuming, 20, which I don't know, is that a record in the Ontario district?
I'm not sure.
I mean, that's certainly, you know, young, perhaps historically, but I think it's wonderful. You know, comment about being a 20-year-old leading teenagers. I mean, I would presume that would be an asset because you're able to really make a connection and you're just on the other side of that season yourself. So, right. I don't know if you want to comment about being youth president just briefly.
Yeah, it's an honor to be able to serve in this role. Because it kind of summarized what I've been doing just now. I get to help equip young people to be able to make that difference on a district level. So it's been great. I would say the fact that I'm able, you know, I've had young people tell me this. They said, you know, or even parents have come to me and stopped me at a youth convention and they said, seeing someone in their generation doing this,
mm-hmm.
It's one thing to hear someone older than you do it, like much older than you do it, but seeing someone who's been in that space and even in their mid-teens began to do it. That's when I started really doing this, is so inspiring.
Yeah.
So just being able to do that and being able to relate to see the culture and where we're headed and being able to be one who says, you know, I was on both sides of the spectrum, and it's worth it and you can make it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can make it as perverted, you know, no excuses of, oh, 30 years ago it was easier to live for God or 40 years ago, that you can live for God right now. You can make it. It doesn't matter if you've made bad choices. God can redeem your past and use it for your purpose. He's in complete control. Being able to do that in a speaking to my generation
yeah.
is so inspiring because as well, navigating, it also is, we'd be ignorant to say that it's not a crazy time to be alive.
And, sure is.
And there is a lot of confusion. So being able, you know, it's funny in one chapter, not funny, not the word I'm looking for. It's interesting. In the book of Acts, Paul, there's one moment where the Bible says that he's speaking to a crowd of people. And it says that when he speaks to them, it was Jewish people, he speaks to them in their own language, the language they were speaking in. The Bible says the crowd got silent. And they actually began to listen to what he had to say. So being able to have that connection with who you're ministering to,
mm-hmm.
I think people will be able to have a more of an open heart to hear what you have to say.
Sure.
So being able to do that has been honestly a privilege and an honor of mine.
Well, I'm grateful that the Lord has put His hand upon you and elevated your voice. I know it's a blessing to your district, and it's been certainly a blessing to us this weekend, and we're so grateful. I do want to kind of add a couple more questions here. You know, you brought up your parents. They were immigrants from Tanzania.
Right.
What was that like? Obviously, are they first generation Christians or were
right.
they?
Right. So first generation apostolic, it would be.
I see. Okay.
But Christianity's been in my family for generations.
So they came out of religion.
Correct.
And that happened in Tanzania or
here?
It happened in Canada. Correct. Was it at your church?
No. So what happened was it was not the church I'm currently at. It was at another church.
Yeah.
At an apostolic church. My uncle actually have started in Tanzania because my uncle, he got born again back home in Tanzania to
okay.
my parents. And he called my mother and said, because my mother had grown up Lutheran,
mm-hmm.
my father grew up Catholic. And she said, he told her, you need to find a church like this.
Wow.
Where you're at is different from what we've experienced as kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning of it. And once they jumped in, you know, my parents, my mom specifically, from the time I was a kid, trained me on Psalm 23, Psalm 51, Psalm 91, reading the scripture. That's how I learned how to get in the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
understanding the Old Testament, all that stuff from the time I was a kid. It was an unofficial Bible quiz at home, essentially. That's how, that's how I was growing up. So just really diving into the Word of God, I got a lot of those foundational principles from them.
This is a lighthearted question, but what are some of the unique things about being raised by, you know, African parents, or specifically Tanzanian parents? Right. Is there anything that you would say?
I would say I have to do the accent right now. You know, I need to do the accent. It's a unique. I was talking this with a friend the other day. You know, it's such a unique experience, and I'll share some funny stories too. But having the experience of having, you know, you're living in two different worlds per se, because, you know, you go to school, and I grew up in a neighborhood that was predominantly, most people were Canadians mm-hmm. growing up. Their family were there. I guess no one's totally Canadian because we immigrated from somewhere, but sure. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
the generations that were born here in Canada. And so the culture is completely different. You know, I'm at home, you know, what we eat is different. My friends at school are eating. Sometimes as kindergarten, even as a kid, just learning, you know, these guys, you know, I see the Ottawa Senators is a big thing. We had no idea. At my house, no one cares about hockey. So just this little differences that are, they actually make a big difference. But it's awesome because I've been able to, because of those experiences, to navigate different cultures. Mm-hmm. So while I did grow up Canadian, I still do have some traditions and perspectives that come from Tanzania.
Yeah.
Being able to understand that side of the world, and I would say that I am more Canadian because I grew up here my entire life. But being able to appreciate that makes it easier now when I meet someone who is from the Middle East somewhere, or from India, or from, you know, because I'm able to recognize this person, they're different from me. I got to have that perspective switch that, ooh, they may not see things the way I see them, yeah. right? They could be from China or Brazil. So being able to have that appreciation.
It's valuable.
It's extremely valuable because you kind of become well-versed in different cultures because you've grown up in a bilingual culture home.
You mentioned a funny story.
Yes.
I feel like I need to ask.
There are so many funny stories. If I have to think of one.
Mom, don't listen right now. Yeah. Just skip ahead a few minutes.
I have to think of so many because there are so many moments that were hilarious in my growing up as a kid. A classic one that anybody who grew up in an African family would definitely relate to. You know, in my house, grades were very important, very important. At our Thanksgiving dinner the other day, I actually confessed to have hidden a few grades that they never knew about.
No dessert for you.
No. And one day, I think I brought home maybe an 88 or an 89, and I brought home to my dad and said, I'm like really happy about this. He said, this is really good. I'm like, wow, it's awesome. He said, but just one thing. What? Where's the other 11%? And he was joking, but just, you know, and there's so many stories I could share, but sure. That's the humor. That's the, just the aspect, especially the education growing up was excellence, work hard and make something great of your life.
Well, man, it's been great, you know, to have you and for all of your commentary, and thank you for the conversation today. It is Sunday afternoon as we're recording this, and you are preaching in the near future, so we want to wrap this up. I do want to give you the last word, though. So if there's something in your spirit, something on your mind that you would share, it is a Youth Emphasis Sunday today. It could be to any age, but perhaps specifically to youth. What would be something that you would say to this generation of young people? The last voice they hear today will be yours. Again, thank you for being with us on the podcast.
Brother Matt, it's been great to be on. And I said this to you privately. I'll say it here. You have a unique space for this. I really believe that you have a gift. This is a gifting and it's a ministry to be able to facilitate this. So I know you wouldn't want me to say that. But
well, thank you.
You will not cut that part out in Jesus' name. But in all honesty, the one thing I would leave is be you. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a culture that says, you know, embrace yourself and do this. And that's what I'm talking about. Embrace what God's put inside of you. For example, this, what we're doing right now, is God's unique thing. He's using you in this church to be facilitating. And I believe everybody has a unique thing that God has given them that the world is waiting to see. You may not you may be a very anointed preacher, pulpit preacher. I think we're all called to preach the gospel, but you might be an amazing anointed pulpit preacher. You might be, but you might not be. And that doesn't make you greater or lesser. Mm. It just makes you you. And so embrace the anointing that God has placed on your life. And if you're saying, I don't know how to find that, well, get wrapped up in people and God will manufacture how that looks like for you. It might be an Instagram page. You might make memes and somehow share their faith. I don't know. You know, it might be, I've heard of stories of people, and I'm not a proponent of it because I'm not a video game gamer myself, but I know people who like, I've ministered to people through that before. So whatever it is that it looks like for you, embrace that and be comfortable in who God has made, because you'll never, no matter accolades or achievements will ever make you like you unless you just learn to like who God has made inside of you. You know, you can be the most anointed preacher or the most anointed anything, but the anointing doesn't give you value. God is what who gives you value. The anointing is might be something he uses on your life to do something for him. But that's not who makes you you. Embrace who God has made you to be. Love it and watch what God does in your life. And you'll be at your most fulfilled when you're comfortable being you and not trying to copy somebody else and miss out what God has done for your life. I'll end with this. You know, Moses was a powerful man. God used him to make speeches to Pharaoh. He didn't use Daniel the same way he used Moses. He used Daniel to influence Babylon within, but he used Moses to leave Egypt. So two same men, two different men, two different ways on how God moved, it still made it godly. He used Esther within the kingdom of Persia at the time, but for others, he called them out of their kingdoms to make the differences that they needed to make. And so embrace whatever that looks like for you and love whatever that looks like for you, because that's when you'll be at your most fulfilled and most content.
Thanks again for tuning in to The Conversation. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate and review this podcast, share this episode with a friend, and subscribe for future content. This podcast is produced by Capital Community Church in Fredericton, New Brunswick. If you're in the area, we would love to have you for one of our weekly services. For service times and more information, please check out capitalcommunity.ca. We look forward to seeing you again next month on The Conversation.